Genesis chapter number 37 is where I want to preach from this morning by the grace of God. You could stand for the reading of God's holy word. Verse 1, and Jacob dwelt in the land of wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding his flock, the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with his sons, Bilhah and Zilpha, his wives, father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report, their evil report. I won't go on down to verse number 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren. And they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream. And he told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. Speaking of his mom and dad. And he told it to his father, to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him. They envied him. But his father observed the saying. Lord, this is the passage of scripture you put in my heart to read and to proclaim this morning. So I'm asking you to add your blessings of grace, mercy, and favor so that your people can be benefited thereby in Jesus' name. And all God's children say amen. You may be seated in the Lord's presence. I won't be talking to you about vision this morning, dream, and that speaks of the call of God. I believe I'm speaking to several in this house, and by means of Facebook, I believe I'm and radio, I believe I'm speaking to several that's got the call of God in their life to advance and to advance the kingdom. I want to talk to you about Joseph's vision this morning. And I know I'm talking to people in here that's had a vision, not just for ministry, for business, for, you know, your personal life, for your personal family. How many of you know we need a vision for our family, our faith? We need a vision for all that we lay our hands to. The first thing I want to say concerning Joseph's dream, you are not too young to have a dream. You are not too young to have a dream. You are not too young to have a vision or to have a call of God in your life. There's no such thing that you're too young. I want to say now is the time. You're not too young. God wants to use you in your youth. I'm thinking just for a quick moment about Joash. Joash was 6 years old when the call of God came to Joash to serve the kingdom of Israel. He was 6 years old. God supernaturally spared him from his grandmother Athaliah, because she had sought every way she knew how to kill him. God spared his life, and he called him into the ministry when he was 6 years old. I want to say you're not too young. Josiah was called to the kingdom to serve the kingdom when he was 8 years old. Again, I want to say you're not too young. I'm thinking just for a quick moment, John the Baptist was born with the call of God in his life. John the Baptist was born to be a prophet, born to be a forerunner of Christ. Never a man was born greater than John the Baptist, and he had that call ever since his birth. You know, I'm thinking here about what I said. You're not too young. You're not too young. We do a lot here for the youth department in this church and want to do more. I said we do a lot for these kids, young people, and we want to do more. You know why? I know in my heart that God wants to raise you up in the morning days of your life. I mean, when your heart's young, when it's tender, and you've not been drugged out or doped out, and your mind's sharp, you got good intelligence, and life's out in front of you, and you can give your talent, your energy, your dream, the call of God in your life, give it completely to the Lord and make your life count full steam, full strength. Give the Lord your heart when you're young. You know, just for a quick moment, I'm thinking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were young. They were just really children, young lads. When the call of God came to them, they were teenagers. I won't say that again. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they were teenagers when they were called to the kingdom to serve in the kingdom with Daniel. How many of you know it's a call of God to serve with a prophet? It's the call of God to serve your elders and serve your church. And, of course, the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, think of the young boy's lunch that Jesus used to feed the 5,000. He was just a lad. And he gave Jesus his lunch. And he took it and he fed 5,000 men plus women and children. Might have been 20,000 in total. Again, I want to say to all of our young families, our children, our young people, you're not too young. Jesus said, bring the little children unto me. Amen. And despise them not. Bring them unto me. Amen. How many of you realize that's the call of God in this house? Bring the children to me and forbid them not. Eli Masa. God woke me up this morning with this on my heart. How many is willing to labor for the children? How many is willing to teach a class? How many is willing to put your arms around them? How many is willing to drive a van or a bus? How many is willing to take care of kids, to entertain them? Hey, it's a big work, but it's God's work, and that's where God's work starts. It starts with the little children. Can somebody say amen? Boy, it's really good to have a Christian school to educate them in. That's part of my vision right here. That's part of my vision right here is to have a, one day have a school. And not just a secular school, but have training classes to educate these children, to put God's word in their heart, to give them our love. The love of God. Let them know their wealth, their worth in the body of Christ. Yeah, I know they have adolescents. I'm 76 years old. Mary said, probably said, I got a few too. And you might have a few. I don't know. But God wants us to put our hands, loving hands on the children and bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's the call of God. I'm talking about our vision statement here. That's part of my vision statement. Yes, I dream for the day that we can get all of our internet going and get all of our cameras up and get to where we can video our services out further and further and further and further. That's my dream. That's our vision statement. We want to move this church forward. And I like to say to our congregation and our face audience, your American dollar bills help support that vision. And if you're willing and obedient to give the Lord the tithe and the offering and your monetary support, God will tremendously use it to take the kingdom further and further, and he will reward and bless you for doing it. I'm not too young. I wish when I was a boy that I'd had the opportunity that these children here have got. I appreciate my raising. I was raised in a good Christian home, the best. I appreciate our little church there on Duck Creek. I appreciate it. But they didn't have what we got here. They didn't see the, didn't have the potential or the resources or the, didn't have the burden maybe to serve kids like we do. But I want to say, Josh, I love you. Liv, I love you. Beck, I love you. Colton, I love you. And all the way back through Cole and all the way back through the congregation, I love our kids, our children, our teenagers, our young people, and I love the Church of God right here at Matamore, Indiana. Give the Lord some hallelujah in the house. You're not too young, and you're not insignificant, and you do count, and you do matter. I listened to little Emmy here. Didn't that touch your heart? The next thing I want to say is, I'm not too old. That's the next thing I want to say this morning. I'm not too old. Never stop dreaming. You're not too old. I want to say it again to all of our elderly people. Never stop dreaming. You're not too old. Abraham was 100 years old. His beautiful wife Sarah was 90 years old when Isaac was born. Their biological clock might have said they was too old. But God said, they're just at the right age to be used of God. Supernaturally, he gave them the ability to give seed, or Abram the ability to give seed, and Sarah the ability to receive it in their old age. People mature in their old age. People grow and mature and develop and get a better understanding of life in their old age. That palm tree lived to be up nearly about 1,000 years old in some cases. The older it gets, the more mature it gets, and the sweeter its fruit gets. We're not too old. I'm thinking about old. Elizabeth was barren when she gave birth to John the Baptist supernaturally by the hand of God. She was an elderly lady. But God used her womb in her elderly life to give birth to the greatest prophet that ever lived. Never a prophet born like John. I'm thinking of Anna. What was it? She served in the temple 84 years after her 7 years of virginity, or maybe her husband passed. An older woman, a woman of age. God used her to give temple service in her older life. I want to say it again. We're not too old to have a dream. We're not too old to have a vision. In a lot of cases, we're just too cold. We're just too indifferent. Amen. You know, I'm thinking about a dream. Joseph had a dream. And when you've got a dream from God, you can't let it go. When you've got a call of God in your life, you can't let it go. I got that call of God in my life as a young man. And I've never been able to let it go. No hardship, no satanic attack, no death in the family, no financial reversal, no church discouragement. Nothing has ever been able to convince me to let that call of God go, because that call of God in me was bigger than me, and it's bigger than you. And we never let it go. Your dream in you should be so big that it takes your breath away. That it makes you temporarily weak in your knees and makes you cry out to God for help and for guidance. Your dream is the vision of your soul. Your dream is the blueprints of your life. Have you got that dream this morning? Have you got that vision of God in your life? That call of God in your life to do something for Jesus? I know you do. I know you do. I know you do. You know what I think about that dream, that call of God? When you really got it, it's bigger than you. When you really got it, when it's a God-sized dream, it's bigger than you. I want to say something else about that dream. We got music, we got music people here, we've got singers here, we got youth leaders, youth department people here, we got class teachers here, we got ministry workers here. I look back and I see Chad and Brandy here. They've got ministry with the broken people. Yeah, we got ministry people here. And when that dream comes into your heart and life, it's bigger than you, or you wouldn't sacrifice like you do to serve it. That call of God is so big in you, you can't let it go even when you think you can and when you want to. Jeremiah said, I tried to quit preaching. I so burned out with God's people. I so burned out with them because they tore up my writings. They burned my writings. They put me out of the temple. They threw me in a well and left me for dead. I so burned out with all this. He said, I thought I'd just start selling mules. I'll just try another occupation. And you know what he said? He said, when I refrained from ministry, from this dream, this call of God, when I backed away from it, he said, I was weary in well-doing. When I forbore it, he said, it was like fire shut up in my bones. is like fire shut up in my bones. He said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. When I thought I had the right to quit, when I wanted to quit, when I thought I was justified to quit, and I did quit, he said, in my heart I couldn't quit. Lord, I feel like preaching this morning. In my heart I couldn't quit. You can hold up all the excuses to God you want to, but when you've got this fire burning in your soul, this call of God in your life, you can't quit even when you want to quit. It'll keep you awake. It'll talk to you night and day. And I'll tell you something else about this call of God. You'll be willing to give everything for it. And I can say that out of experience. I've been willing to give everything for it. If ball players, movie directors, Showtime people put the work in what they do that I put in this church, they'd be shocked how much money, how much work I put in this church. And I want to tell you something. Yeah, the money might be with them, but one glad morning when this life is over and I'll fly away, there's going to be a crown of righteousness laid up for me in glory, a crown that fadeth not away. There'll be an eternal reward. Jesus said, when we labor for him, there'll be a reward in glory. And that's not just for me. That's for all you that labor and give your life and your money and your work and your talent and your gift and done it sacrificially. Yeah, the movie stars might have the money, but listen, life is short. My dad used to say we're a short time here and a long time gone. Life is short, but eternity's forever. I'm going to wear that shepherd's crown. I'm going to wear it throughout eternity. I'm going to wear it forever and ever, and I'm going to wear it with pride because I bore the load in the heat of the day, and some under my voice has labored right with me. Elah Masai. I just feel like preaching today. Just give you my heart. I want to tell you something else about this call of God. It'll last forever. I want to say something else about this call of God. It'll meet a need in you that nobody else can meet. I just feel like preaching today. It'll meet a need in you that nobody else can meet. A need that your family can't meet, your wife can't meet, nobody else can meet, because it's a need. It's a need of satisfaction, knowing you did the will of God while you was alive and breath was in your lungs. You did the will of God. Man, I used to get up and down a lot easier. My surgery knee don't go too good. May God have the glory. I need to say something else this morning. I'm not too much of a failure. I'm not too much of a failure, or I'm too much of a failure. People will say, I've got too many failings in my life, too many backslidings. I've been too wayward. God's give up on me. Don't believe a word of that. God didn't send his son to this world to give up on you. We're not too much of a failure. And I want to say something else. I hope everybody's got their ears on. Failure is not final. Failure is not final. We've all had some failings. That is, if you're honest with me, and I'm honest with you, we've all had some failings along the way. But failure is not final. Our miscues are not final. Run through the finish line for God. I'd say to you this morning, run through the finish line for God. He's not after perfection. He's after your obedience. The call of God is restoring people as I preach. The call of God is building integrity in you as I preach. I feel the quickening spirit of God resurrected in people's hearts as I preach this morning. God's bringing this church back. God's bringing this church back. I said, God's bringing us back. I said, God's bringing us. Are you willing to work with me and labor with me and witness with me and do everything you can to witness and bring this church back? Our greatest days is not behind us. Our greatest days is in front of us. I feel prophetic in saying that. Our greatest days is not in the rearview mirror. Our greatest days is in front of us. I want to say something else this morning. I'd like to have a little drink of water. I'm not too new to God to have a dream. Thank you. To have a vision. To have a call of God in my life. I'm not too new to God. We got a lot of new people coming in. We're enjoying getting acquainted. You getting acquainted with me and kind of how I am, and I'm getting acquainted with you and kind of how you are, and I'm enjoying it. I'm a people's person. Anybody that knows me knows I'm a people's person. Ask God to give you strength. You know when I say we're not too new to God? So the disciples was not too new to God. God called them disciples to be his 12 apostles of the Lamb. And did they drag their feet? Absolutely not. They went forth immediately and gave life and limb for the call of God in their life. They weren't too lazy. They weren't too lethargic. They weren't too stiff. Neither were they too cold. Neither were they too busy. The apostles, when Jesus came out of the mountain, cold mountains of Judea, and said, I'm calling Matthew, and I'm calling Mark, and I'm calling, and how many you know, immediately they pursued the call of God. That call was bigger than them. We're not too new. Paul, when that call came to him on that Damascus road, Saul of Tarsus. When that call of God came to Saul, and he was later renamed Paul, he did just what the apostles did. He pursued that call fully. And what did they do? They impacted the whole world.